Okay. Welcome, everyone. We can get rolling with introductions and welcome. I'll lead the room around. My name is Richard. I'm a council co-chair and co-chair of the community engagement group here. Stephen.
Stephen Spano, a member of the public, AgeCap staff attorney at the AIDS Legal Referral Bill.
Welcome, Stephen. I'm Maria.
I'm Maria Lakaya with HIV Health Services.
Hi, Maria. Laura.
Laura Thomas, she, her, planning council member.
Thank you, Laura. Derek.
I am Derek, co-chair of the subcommittee, and they, he.
Thank you, Derek. Kira.
Hi everyone, Kira, council staff.
Hi, Kira. Mark.
Mark Moore, council staff.
And Franco, are you with us? Would you like to introduce yourself? Can you hear me?
You have to unmute.
Okay, maybe Franco's getting prepared. Well, so with that, we can, if you could put up today's agenda for review and approval.
Hi, sorry everyone. I'm not sure what's going on with my computer, but I'm back.
Hi, Franco. Want to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. Franco Chevalier, work at San Francisco City Clinic.
Welcome. So we're just going over today's agenda. Looks extremely straightforward, unless Mark and Kira have anything to add. Anyone? Okay. With that, today's agenda is approved. And we can go over last month's minutes. Anyone have anything they'd like to add or amend? Okay, seeing none, last month's minutes are approved. Announcements. Stephen.
This is unusual for me, and I'm sorry. I'm not normally absent for our meetings, but I next month I'm going to be out of town, so I just wanted to let you know that. I'm happy to obviously provide my report so you guys can discuss, or if you want, I'm happy to make myself available the following week. However you guys want to handle it. I can also just appear the following month and do a dual report the way I've done in the past, which is fine. But I know we don't normally meet in December. That's why I'm saying that.
Would another date work for you? I think yours might be the main update that occurs next month. I think you'll see with here's needs assessment update, but that's being wrapped up. So I'm not sure there's much beyond HCAP. Can you think of any big agenda items for next month, Kara?
No, I think you're right. Stephen's lovely HCAP report is usually our main thing.
Absolutely.
I hate to make everybody reconvene on my account, but
I
I'm
was saying
happy to.
either we can re I guess I was thinking either reconvene or cancel November's, but then you'd have to also decide about December as well.
Well, the council would, where the committee would do that, right? But I think the council normally doesn't do meetings in December. That's pretty traditional, right? I'm happy to make myself available. I'll tell you, my out of town dates are until the 9th of November. I will be back on the 12th, which is Tuesday following Veterans Day.
How about then, today is Wednesday. So how about the 13th? Would that work for folks? Is there another committee meeting then? Let me open up my calendar. Hold on.
I think the
Not committee
13th is
meeting on
Sunday.
that.
November 3rd. Oh, I thought Stephen said he
Oh,
was.
November 13th. I'm
Oh, you're
sorry.
looking at October. Yeah, November 13th is the Wednesday, November 15th.
No, there's nothing usually scheduled for the second Wednesday of the month, at least for me.
So how does that sound to folks?
Sounds good.
Can anyone not make that?
Which date?
November 13th.
November 13th, a Wednesday.
I can do that.
Okay, so staff will send that out at the appropriate time, but just get it in your heads now. Next community engagement meeting will be Wednesday, November 13th. Okay, thank you. All right, Stephen, thanks for the heads up. And all right, any other announcements? Okay, public comment? I don't believe so. Stephen, you're back up again, kid.
Whoa, here we are. All right. Thank you all for accommodating my schedule. I apologize for that. I don't actually have too much to report this month. I was hoping to have more progress than actually happened. I will say there have been some near successes with regard to one case that I mentioned last month that's mentioned in the meetings. There was a client who who was having trouble with the voucher. So on this report, it's page 2, 2024-42. That's the one at the top there. Basically, I was hoping to have a little bit more information on this. I was hoping to report a success today. It can illustrate some of the challenges that we have in working with the various agencies, including our government partners, like the Housing Authority. We did finally connect with somebody there that has been helpful in helping us move things forward. Unfortunately, there's little that can be done about some of the bureaucratic things. So for example, they did a price assessment on the unit that the client was finally approved for and was able to get documentation for sent from the building. And it was over by $42, which means the client had to find a whole new unit and restart the process from the very beginning. Fortunately, there was another unit available in the building, but now we're waiting on the process to move forward for that. So again, a near success that I am hoping by November 13th, I will be able to report the client is safely housed. Their living conditions in their current unit are really, really awful. And they don't make it very easy for him to successfully kind of navigate the rest of the system when he's ill and stressed and doesn't want to live where he's living and just living under the conditions he is. And so we're working. He is well connected. I'm very grateful for that. He has been very grateful for that. But it just goes to show like the level of teamwork that is required to get somebody housed in this city sometimes. So I wanted to point that out. And also just be hopeful, ask for your hope. I did have a new case that I'm actually really happy to have in front of this audience. I have a client who, and this is on page 4 at the top of the page, 2024-62 is their HCAP designation. This client was incarcerated. For the period of time that they were incarcerated, the physician at the jail lowered their dosage of a medication that they were on. And when they reentered, their primary care physician kept the lower dosage, and the client wants to go up in dosage. Now, it's been difficult to connect with the client. And there are some behaviors that, you know, need to be managed. It's been hard to keep him on the phone for any length of time. I would really like to support him and advocate for him to the extent that I'm able. I'm obviously not able to force a physician to change a dosage. And I would presume there are reasons for the lowering of a dosage of medication and, you know, some support to back it up. But you know, it's not uncommon too for like, you know, things to fly under the radar. And if that dosage was lowered without a whole lot of inspection, then, you know, there's still so much more to uncover. But I was really happy to have this audience in particular because Richard, you've been so vocal about wanting to support folks. And I feel like this is a person who could benefit from maybe a conversation with you. And so I don't know if this is the appropriate time to ask, but I would say, you know, if there's opportunity for involvement, this is somebody that could use some support from somebody who has kind of been down the road before. And those are really the only two cases that I wanted to check in about. I'm happy to answer questions regarding the others. Most of the other cases that came through this last month were referrals, which, you know, took some effort, but got folks connected.
In terms of the individual with the pain management issue, is finding a different primary care provider an option? Often providers will have very different philosophies around that.
You know, the problem with that, and I appreciate that that thought, and that was one of the things that the client came to me with. It kind of, the request changed to wanting to change their medication, it's unclear. I have yet to have a sit down conversation with the client where we can have a robust discussion about an in-depth conversation about this. And I know so little about it from the medical point of view, but part of the challenge is it's unclear to me whether the client doesn't like their provider because they don't like their provider, or they don't like their provider because they're not doing what they want with regard to that medication. And I'm certainly, if a client says that they want a new provider, I'm not opposed to advocating for that, but they also have to be able to appropriately access the services of another provider. And, you know, there's really only two providers that I have found are really responsive to, like, kind of drop in, no appointment necessary, you know, and I'm thankful we have those in our the system of care. Yeah. But there's not a whole lot of options for that, you know.
Got it. Because not knowing anything about this individual or their medical history, but if they've got, you know, if they may meet the criteria for an opioid use disorder, which I'm wondering if that's part of what's going on with the clinician's reluctance, like getting in with somebody who is an expert in pain management and addiction medicine might help them get their needs met in a way that will also keep them as safe as possible. I'm reading between the lines that there might be an indication of some substance use disorder in there, but finding somebody who, even if that's not the case, it seems like they're probably getting treated as if that might be the concern. So, yeah, but I also recognize that finding a clinical expert in health issues who is also appropriate for drop-in care can be challenging. But I see that Franco's got his hand up, so he is an actual clinician, unlike me, who's just mouthing off.
Yeah, Franco.
No, Laura, I think what you were saying actually is quite true. And Stephen, I guess, like, from my perspective as a provider myself, you know, for patients that sort of are struggling oftentimes with, like, substance use and come in with various needs, specifically around pain management, I would say that the first thing that I will personally want to know in terms of, like, how to best assist this particular patient is, you know, what were the needs that sort of prompted him to be on the initial dose that he was on? Was it some sort of chronic condition? Was it some sort of acute or condition that potentially over the course of time will get better that prompted for them to sort of wean him off for whatever reason, right? And so then from that perspective, also understanding the reasons why the medications were reduced while he was incarcerated, whether that was just, you know, the provider's sort of, like, lack of perception as to, like, what the patient's needs were, or whether or not it was, you know, a lack of report from the patient to really, like, advocate for, like, the dosing or whatever it was. I would just like to maybe understand, but then even more so, maybe understanding the current provider or their primary care doctor wanting to keep the main dose, because maybe there is something that we are missing in terms of, like, why that decision was made. But then ultimately, I think that if, you know, if it's going to be troublesome for him to find another provider, oftentimes, I'm not sure in which facility or where this person is getting care. But for instance, at 486, for me, With my patients that have any clinical needs, they can obviously come to me directly, but our team is composed of like an RN and a social worker. And so they can raise those concerns directly to the RN or the social worker in case of anything. And sometimes they have a case manager assigned to them as well. And with that's the case, and they're feeling like their needs are not being met, we generally meet on a regular basis and sometimes even bring in specialists. Like, for instance, I sometimes engage pain management in the, or psych when it comes to like very tricky situations where, you know, I'm because as providers, we have to log into the DEA sort of site to see when patients are picking up prescriptions and how often. And that kind of correlates with like use or abuse, et cetera. And so when that happens, you have to have like this kind of dance of like how much is too much and where do we sort of draw the line or who do we engage in order to sort of create a contract and a way to support their current pain issues, but at the same time, sort of being cognizant of like the potential abuse that, that could be there. If there is, but I'm not sure really about the context of the case itself. But yeah, happy to help if any in any way if able to. So yeah,
I appreciate that. I saw Rich's hand up too. I don't know if you if that just went down
well
automatically or
my from what I've seen in the past. You know, I don't know if you, Stephen, as a representative or who he has for case manager or something, someone obviously has to have a talk to the doctor, the street doctor, and see why this has happened, obviously. But being skeptic here from what I've seen in the past is in county jail, you are not going to get your level of pain meds. I don't care. Unless it's a life-saving matter, you're not going to get the meds you want, especially when it comes to narcotics. Or open pain medication, you're not going to get it. They're just going to arbitrarily give you the amount they want, and you're lucky to get that. What's fishy here is how the doctor could just keep it that way on the street. Maybe this is something they've wanted to do from the start. Maybe there's a drug-seeking behavior in this person that hadn't that was building up, and this was the impetus they needed to just keep it at that, but that's a real kind of backdoor way to do this. So someone needs to have a talk with the provider and then more shall be revealed, as they say. But yeah, that medicine is just arbitrarily cut when you go into county jail. You are not going to get your pain meds, at least at the level that you were at getting it on the street at any time, anywhere. And but for the doctor to keep it cut like that without conversation is pretty backdoor, unless it's an extreme drug-seeking behavior on this person. You say you're having trouble even getting them on the phone or keeping his attention, maybe there's something there. But whoever can get to the doctor, that's the deal.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I, all of this is very valuable. It is, of course, all conjecture at this point because I don't have more information than what I've literally written on this page. And I have to have a discussion. I do think that the support of case management would be helpful, and that will be my next step. Is to make sure that we have a medical case manager to work with the client and help them advocate and you know help communicate. I'm reticent to just you know assume that there is like kind of med seeking behavior you know in that way. I have seen that presumed incorrectly before in my practice. And that is devastating. Like, you know, if somebody is in a lot of pain, of course they are not going to be pleasant or easy to work with, you know, which is one of the reasons actually to hear that that's just kind of the common state of affairs in jail is scary, upsetting among other things. But yeah, you know, I of course continue to update as I have updates, you know, assuming the client wants to continue, you know, working and I'll make myself as available as I always am. But so I do appreciate the discussion. My goal is to find out exactly what the reasons behind it are, you know, to kind of keep the regiment the way that it has been. Yeah, it could have been an oversight. I mean, I guess that's possible. I don't know. But we'll find out as I investigate further.
Well, thank you for following up and, you know, just kind of building on what Franco said, like if that person is not being seen at Ward 86, but is willing to, Ward 86 has a high prevalence of clinicians with expertise at this intersection. Yeah, and yeah, just in general, trying to find a clinician who's got expertise in that pain management, addiction,
Yeah.
interplay might be helpful.
Yeah.
Thanks, Laura. Thank you, Franco. Anything else, Stephen?
No, I think not. I think that's all I have. I appreciate y'all hearing it.
Anything else for Stephen? All righty. Thanks for everything, Stephen.
Thank you.
Kira, I believe you're up with needs assessment, Nicola.
Yeah, I can give up. An update about both of those. So I'll talk about the needs assessment first. So we currently have 31 surveys that have been conducted. So that's a pretty good number. Not our goal though that we were hoping to get. We were ideally hoping to get more. But so far we've held three in-person focus groups and or slash interview opportunities for eligible participants. Which is pretty in line with what how many we had last year for last year's needs assessment. And we did unfortunately just receive low turnout for all three of those focus groups. And based on kind of what participants shared, I can kind of infer why maybe that might be the reasoning. But so we held focus groups at a support group at Shanti with Black Brothers Esteemed and the Black Health Center of Excellence. And so I am still conducting or am open to conducting phone interviews. So those have been going have been kind of ongoing. And we have actually received a lot of our surveys through that manner. A lot of folks seem to prefer that. So yeah. But due to that, we are deciding now to wrap up our needs assessment. So hopefully you will see a presentation before the end of the year. So
I'm
that's
sorry, could you repeat that? You were going to wrap it up, or you're not wrapping it
we're
up?
wrapping it up, yes.
Okay.
And then for the COLA, well, does anyone have any questions about that before I move
Not a
on?
question, but just a comment that, well, first of all, thank you for your work on that, of course. But also, be great if you can preview at least a draft of the presentation that you'll be doing at the November full council meeting at this rescheduled meeting in on the 13th of November.
Yeah, I can definitely do that.
I have a question, Kira, and if a few other small groups could be put together by the end of this month, would that be possible at all, or do you think we got what we need to get?
I mean, ideally we did want more surveys. So I was hoping we were in contact with Rafiki Coalition to hopefully get one last focus group put together. But they weren't communicating well with us and it just didn't seem like they wanted to get it done really. So that was kind of our last push. And so after that I've just kind of been screening for phone interviews and that's what got us over 30, thankfully. But so I don't really have other sources to reach out to in order to put together another focus group. But if anyone here does have someone or a support group, maybe an established support group that they think would be best for this, I'm very open to having, I mean, I really did want one last focus group.
The reason why I ask is, I get exactly what you're saying. There's a lot of implication in that. There's a lot of difficulty in organizing, particularly Black HIV folks, strangely enough. And there's a lot of work that has to be put into it. I don't have a very clear idea around it. But I am putting together and working to put together something later this month. And I know that people are interested. It's just the organizing of it has to be so intentional. And it is 99% sweat equity, and getting these sort of groupings together in our community. There's a lot of hesitancy at this point in doing any sort of work. Even if, you know, you can say, I'm giving you $50 in your hand, and it doesn't have quite the response you would expect, you know, giving people money would project it would have. It's just really difficult. So if I can put together a group by end of month, I really would like to see if we can get that included in the COLA.
Yeah, Derek, why don't you and I connect and then we can talk about it a little bit more. And I don't see that being an issue. I mean, I'll still continue to work on the needs assessment presentation. And hopefully if we can work to get some more participants, and I can include that in the presentation.
To be perfectly honest, and I'm sorry, I'm just going to jump in there. It would be interesting to look at this question of hesitancy and reluctancy and being involved or getting involved in the nature of this sort of work from the community. There's something there that definitely needs exploring.
It's I would say it's not just the community, though. It also is providers. Rafiki has been very unresponsive or just has not been great as far as like trying to even really meet Kira halfway. So it's definitely community, but I just don't want us to totally say it's the community when it's clearly some providers as well who are like, this is not a priority.
Well, I hear you, Mark, on that. And I would say that the providers are also community folks as well. Like, you know, we come from community, and it's not just Rafiki. There's a reluctancy even with BBE folks and within that community in the COE. I think there's some hard truths there that needs to be explored.
Franco?
Yeah, thank you, Richard. No, so I was just going to add, Kira, that as far as Rafiki is concerned, so as part of being deputy medical director here at City Clinic, I've been in conversations actually with members of the community in Bayview, and I've actually have a pretty good relationship with members of Rafiki Coalition. I think of the Andre, I don't know who you've talked to before, but Andre Akins is the director of programs. And as a matter of fact, actually, it just happened to reach out to me yesterday for participating in some sort of community event that they have in, regarding like HIV prevention and whatnot. I'm happy. Like, I don't know if you've already talked to Andre, but Andre is quite responsive and quite engaged. And I know that I have a good rapport with him in terms of like just facilitating actually focus groups, which we've had with members from that community to sort of understand like the needs and sort of like how City Clinic can serve as a support in that setting, and as it relates to like STIs and HIV prevention. So I'm not sure if you already made contact with Andre, but I'm happy to maybe reach out tomorrow and see if there's any way that I can sort of facilitate a conversation that hopefully sort of like results in them identifying people that could help you. You'll want to do the survey or participate in the focus groups. I'm not sure if that will be helpful.
I think that would be helpful. Andre was actually the person that I spoke to like various people within Rafiki Coalition, but Andre was like the last person I spoke to. And it's surprising because he wasn't actually very responsive with me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like first I would say, I would just, without really making excuses, I know that he's like extremely busy with a bunch of like different things and stuff, but I do know that depending, because I guess maybe part of the reason why he does respond to us is because there is a direct partnership through CHEP. In the Department of Public Health that provides funding to them in terms of like supporting their efforts and stuff. But maybe just like having that sort of connection, like, hey, you know, like I heard that they were trying to reach out to maybe have you guys participate in this. Not sure where you guys landed on this, but maybe just check the polls because maybe they talked about it internally. Maybe there was just wasn't enough time. Who knows? And at least maybe see if that helps sort of make that connection and they're willing and able to participate.
Yeah, I think if you could connect us, think of, that would be really helpful.
I'll try to reach out, and then once I hear back from him, I'll send you an email, a follow-up email tomorrow or something.
All right, thanks. Awesome, Franco.
Thanks, Franco. Steven.
Yeah, I don't know if it's overkill, especially because I'm I will double tap, triple tap, quadruple tap you if I don't hear back. But I don't know if it would be helpful, but my understanding is Rafiki is going to be providing a member spotlight at the Happen meeting on Friday, which is an opportunity to kind of check in with them as well. So I'm happy to give them a hard sell on Friday and just like remind them that this is something they should be doing. but I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I was just offering.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea.
That is assuming that they are actually there, since the last time they were scheduled, they didn't actually make it to present. So,
yeah.
Okay, thanks for everyone's input. Kira, you still have COLA?
Yeah, so moving on now to COLA. We did begin outreach last month. And so I have contacted, I know one of the organization's folks really suggested was Larkin Street Youth Center. So we did contact them. I did speak to somebody, and they informed me that they don't have a HIV specific support group that they hold. So as far as what I can kind of establish to try to recruit members from them is just sending them our flyer so they can post it up. That being said, I am going to reach out to Instituto Familiar de la Raza, because I know they actually do have an established support group for youth living with HIV. And so I'm hoping to get then a focus group from that support group.
Who are you going to reach out to, Kira?
Instituto Familiar de la Raza. So, yeah.
So that's it?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Kira.
Yeah.
Anyone have anything left for Kira?
Can you share that flyer again with the information for
the needs assessment one?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, that might be the end of the meeting here. Yes, unless anyone has anything left. Mark, Kira?
I think Kira's probably let people know, but we did finally get the slate of most recent new members approved by the mayor's office. So, like I said, I think Kira let the individuals know, but we should all be happy about that. They can now vote.
Yeah, I didn't understand that part. I couldn't vote before. I was on that list and it says you can now vote.
Well, for the folks who were renewals, we just sort of grandfathered you in to be able to vote. It was the new members were the ones that, so I created this understanding with the mayor's office about 10 years ago, because they were taking, even back then, different mayor, different appointment czar. They're taking a really long time to get anything sent approved back to us. And so the deal that we agreed on is that renewals just, you know, they can just wait and continue acting as council members while they wait for their renewals. The main source of, I guess, tension was around new members. And so the deal was basically like, okay, if you don't want them to vote, then they can't vote. It's really up to you all. But they did agree to have those new members still be sitting at the table and being a part of the council and, you know, engaging in discussions as long as they didn't vote or put motions or second motions. So, yeah, that was mainly, though, like I said, not mainly, that was almost entirely for the new members. They were less hardcore about the returning members. So, you know, we just continued you despite not getting the actual final from the mayor's office. So, yeah. That's nice that they said that you could vote when you've been voting the entire time, but, you know.
Understood. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Kira. And thank you, everyone. And so we've decided that the next meeting will be Wednesday, November 13th, we said? Yeah, so I'll see everyone on the 13th. I'll see you in the meeting universe in between there. But everyone take care.
Bye.